Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey everyone, PA here, Pastor Adam Bird, and thank you so much for tuning in to our Every Nation channel. And I got news for you this morning. God has got a word for you. God's got a word for you. And listen, we've been in a series we've just called the ABCs of Faith. We're trying to lay a biblical groundwork or framework for our lives. And so before we do that, though, just a couple stories to kind of lead us into where we're headed. And so many of you know Michael Phelps. And if you don't know who Michael Phelps is, shame on you. He's the most decorated Olympian of all time. He had 28 medals, and 23 of those are gold, right? And if you don't know this, because of his fame, Olympic fame, do you know this guy's worth over $100 million? And despite all this fame, all this glory, after the 2012 games in London, Michael Phelps found himself in a deep, dark hole. A depression set in over his life. It was debilitating. And so he looked to drugs and alcohol to kind of medicate and numb the pain. And after some time, it just compounded the problem. And so he checked himself into rehab. And while he was in rehab, a friend of his, another Hall of Fame athlete by the name of Ray Lewis, that he checked in on his friend Michael Phelps, and he gave him a book. And that book was this book, The Purpose Driven Life. And as Michael Phelps began to thumb through and read through the pages of The Purpose Driven Life, he said two things happened. Number one, his faith in God was strengthened. And number two, he realized this, that man, my life has purpose, meaning, and significance, right? And so, now let me just, if I could take you to the other end of the spectrum. So this is Michael Phelps, this guy who's on top of the world, but he's in need of purpose. If I can go to the other end of the spectrum, let me share with you the story of Ashley Smith. So Ashley Smith, she's actually a meth addict. She's destroying her body, her family, her relationships, and she's at risk of losing her daughter, Paige. And so so during this dark moment, she started going to addiction classes, rehab classes, and as well, she picked up the book, The Purpose Driven Life. And so fast forward, in Atlanta, there is an accused rapist by the name of Brian Nichols. And at his arraignment, he took a gun from one of the security guards, shot the judge and the court officer, and fled the scene. There was a statewide manhunt for Brian Nichols as he was on the run. Ashley Smith is returning to a residence at 2 a.m. and they're waiting in the wings with Brian Nichols. He grabbed her and kidnapped her and took her to her apartment. And it was there they were held up for some time. But there was something strange began to happen. Brian Nichols, he started to trust Ashley Smith. And as he eventually untied her, and she asked if she could sit at the kitchen table and read her Bible and The Purpose-Driven Life. And so as she was reading, he asked, would you read it out loud? Would you read it to me too? She was reading things about, in chapter 33, how we've been designed to serve people. And it gives us purpose, meaning, and significance. And here's what's crazy. As the evening progressed, Brian Nichols asked, hey, do you have drugs here? And she just confessed, yes, I do have, I have methamphetamines here. And so he started taking some, and then he asked, do you want to take some drugs with me? And there she just said, surprising herself, no, I don't. And then he asked a second time, do you want to take drugs with me? He asked a third time, do you want to take drugs with me? And she said she had this epiphany in this moment. It was as if the Lord himself was asking her, do you want to be a drug addict or do you want to be with me and allow me to change your life? And the third time she said no, she said it was like, boom, she was free in that moment. And from that moment forward, Ashley Smith, she was no longer a victim in the story. She became a minister and started ministering to Brian Nichols. Told her, I mean, you need to repent. You need to turn yourself in. That you need to apologize for the pain and sorrow of the families that you just murdered their relative. And so, and then the miracle of all miracles, he lets her go to go pick up her daughter, Paige. But before she leaves, Brian Nichols asks, is there anything I can do for you? And she says, yes, you can. You could hang the mirror that I need hung in the hallway. And so she leaves, and naturally she turns him in to the authorities. But get this. Afterwards, they made a major motion picture about her life and this story. And she actually wrote a book called The Unlikely Angel. And I tell you these two extreme stories to bring us back to the main thing, and that's the power of purpose. Man, and God has a purpose for your life. Actually, you have the greatest purpose in all of the cosmos, and that's this. You've been created by God to bear His image in the earth. Man, and so that's going to bring us to the ABCs of faith, the letter I, the Imago Dei, the image of God. You've been created to bear the image of God in the earth. And so we'll be in Genesis chapter 1. I need to set it up a bit. And in Genesis chapter 1, we remember that God just says, let there be light. And then what? Light has been blasting out at 186,000 miles per second, pushing back darkness in the cosmos. That it says that the earth, it was formless and void. And what does God do? He begins to form the perfect atmosphere, the sun, and all these different things so that life can flourish. And then what does He do? He forms, and then He fills it with life. Man, the birds of the sky, the fish in the sea, and the beasts on the field. And then we get to day six. Day six is the pinnacle of God's creation, and that what He created was you. Let me read to you in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image. We see the Trinity at work there. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And so we have 3 points here today, and because of that, I'm a pastor, I have to have 3 points, and here's what they are this morning is this, that, see, there's ramifications of you and I being created to bear the image of God in the earth, and here's 3 ramifications is this, 3 words, dignity, identity, and activity. Dignity, identity, and activity. And you'll notice that they all rhyme because the pastors have to make things rhyme and be kitschy. We're kind of like rappers, but not as cool, all right? Point number one is this, man, dignity. That as image bearers of God, you and I have infinite dignity, value, and worth because we are part, we are the Imago Dei, the image of God. And so let me set that up this way. So my household is, so I have my wife, Susan, my 2 daughters, we have 3 dogs, and wait for it, we have a cat. All right. And so say we hit hard times in the Burt household and man, all the finances, I got to cut things back. And so one of them has to go. Which one has to go? Right. And so immediately everyone knows it's the cat's got to go. Right. Because we're dog people at Every Nation, New Jersey. And if you're a cat person, you know, it's true. But notice, I hope no one said, hey, your wife's got to go or your kid's got to go. Right. No one said that. If you did, there's something wrong with you. OK. And so we see that this isn't a math equation. This is more about value, dignity. And as an image bearer of God, humanity stands above the rest of the created order. And so we've been set apart by God. There's something very unique and distinct about you and I as image bearers. Like, notice this, did you know that humanity and humanity alone, that we have a spiritual capacity? And so that humanity, we can't help ourselves but wonder and ask eternal and transcendent questions. Like, do you know that scientists are in search of the God gene? Because wherever they go around the planet, humanity is in search of a deity. Do you know that what else? Like man has this question, what happens after death? Like we know there's something after death. And so there's a spiritual component to you and I. And so now, can I contrast that with the animal kingdom? And I'll use my golden retriever, Marshall, as a test case. And so for the record, we have an image going up of Marshall. This is a good image of him. A few weeks back, I showed you an unflattering picture of our obese golden retriever. And so I've caught flack for the last 2 weeks about it. So I said, give me a cute picture of him. This is Marshall, an adorable picture, all right? But here, let me tell you something about Marshall. Do you know what Marshall, he's not doing in this photo? He's not thinking, what happens when I die? He's not thinking that. You know what he's thinking in this photo? When do I get to eat? And so, do you know what? I promise you in this photo that Marshall is not thinking, man, I wonder, is there a creator God behind all of this? You know what he's thinking? I hope I get a treat and a belly rub sometime today, right? And that's just the reality of it, because dogs don't have a spiritual component to them. And so, but you and I as image bearers, we have the spiritual dimension and capacity to our life. We not only have a spiritual capacity, we have a moral capacity, right? Like there's a moral compass intrinsic in humanity. And so, it's funny when there's any atheists or agnostics, you know, there's a real simple way to kind of prove that God exists. And I'll just let you know, man, I just let them know, hey, the law within and the law without. So in other words, like if you pay attention to the world, man, that there's all these laws set in place, the law of gravity and how close we are to the sun and the orbit and the fine tuning of our creation. It screams, man, someone designed all this stuff. And so the law outside of us, man, it points to a designer or a creator. But there's also a law on the inside of us. Man, the Bible would say that the law has been written on our heart. We would call it conscience, or that conscience. Con means with, and science knowledge. That there's, we're born innately with a knowledge of right and wrong, right? And so we can't get away from that. Who put that in there? I would submit to you, a creator God. And so we have a moral capacity to our life as image bearers, but the animal kingdom, man, they don't have a moral capacity. Like, I don't know if you paid attention to the these animal shows, man, and nature is brutal. Like you watch that, man, the Lion King, and then, man, we got Elton John singing, you know, it's the circle of life, you know, whatever, and do this. And what do they show? These scenes where the antelope are going through the prairies, and man, everything's all beautiful and peaceful. You know that ain't reality, right? Like, you know what they don't show you while they're singing the circle of life is, man, is the lion that's eating a baby antelope, right? And digging on his liver. And you know, at no point does that lion go, how could I do that? It was only a baby, right? He doesn't feel shame or anything like that, right? Do you know, in the animal kingdom, man, if you're sick, young and can't keep up, or too old and can't keep up, man, that's on you, bro. And they will let you go. And you know what happens? You're lunch for the latest apex predator in that moment, right? They don't care for their young or their elderly, right? And so so there is a moral capacity that's distinct in humanity as image bearers of God. And then lastly, there's a relational component or capacity for you and I. Like in other words, we know that humanity intrinsically has value, worth, and dignity. We know it. And so if you're driving down the street and a deer, I mean a baby deer runs in front of your car, and it's you either can hit the deer or you swerve and hit the pedestrian. Surely you know that you shouldn't be like weighing out, pros and cons. You know, the deer is pretty cute. You know, cons. I could go to jail if I hit this guy. You don't do that, man. Man, you're gonna have to smoke the deer. Why? Because humanity is like higher in priority by the intrinsic nature of being image bearers of Almighty God. And so, do you know, the founding fathers of our nation, they felt this. They felt this in their guts, and they added it to the preamble of our Constitution. It reads like this: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And here's what's so mind-blowing to me, man, as we see this statement that's so beautiful and true, then how could we write those beautiful words and then make way for slavery, right? It just blows my mind how, man, and to this day, man, slavery is a dark spot on the soul of America, right? And so why? Because you've been created in the image of God. And so there's ramifications for you and I and all of humanity being image bearers of God. And here's some of them, and these are going to be wildly popular. So here's the first one. Abortion is wrong. Abortion is wrong. And get this, I'm not making a political statement or anything today. I'm making an Imago Dei statement, an image of God statement. And for those of you that may be tuning in, listen, I know I'm a man, who am I? Who's a man to be saying this stuff? I'm just reading the Bible to you today. And here's what I know, that, you know, that stats would tell us this, that 1 in 4 women have had an abortion. And so that's going to be some of you out there. And here's what I need you to know. Man, that today, there's only two kinds of people that are talking today. Sinners and sinners saved by grace. And that's it. And so I want to tell you, man, if you have had an abortion or encouraged somebody to have one, I want to tell you this, man. Jesus doesn't condemn you. I don't condemn you, man. And the cross of Christ will cover all of that stuff, man. We're all sinners in need of the grace of God. And so, but I would say this, though, like, you're going to start hearing this over and over again, that abortion is about reproductive rights. And I'm like, let me get this straight. You're fighting for the right to kill an image bearer of God, right? It's sinful and it's wrong. And you can't say, hey, it's my body, because science doesn't say that. That the child, while in your body, it's not part of your body. The child has its own blood, its own heartbeat, man, its own DNA, right? It's in your body, but it's not part of your body. And so, listen, I get this. I'm a daddy of daughters, man. And so if people always point to, what about rape and what about incest? Do you know that's less than 1% of the abortions performed are rape and incest? Hey, and if that's been you, I promise you this, man, I think we need to sit and talk and have a hearty dialogue about next steps with that. And listen, if the mom's health is in danger, I think we have to have a very serious discussion about that, right? But if it's about being inconvenienced, or if it's just kind of an unwanted pregnancy, listen, I get it, man. It makes life complicated and complex. But the answer surely can't be, to make my life less complicated, kill the baby. Right? It can't do that. See, the unborn are the most vulnerable on our planet of image bearers. And so we have to fight for their rights. Number two is this, because we're made in the image of God, racism is incompatible with the Imago Dei. It just is, man. And so if you're going to judge somebody by the color of their skin, and get this, this isn't just a black-white thing, man. This is global. Every kind of skin tone you can imagine, people will be racist and bigoted about, and it's just incompatible with the Word of God and the Imago Dei. That we are, there's one race, the human race, and we need to fight for, not with, one another. And so let me go to the next one. And because of the Imago Dei, the image of God, we care for the elderly, the handicapped, the sick, the poor. Man, the image of God compels us to care for image bearers. So you remember, man, you can get this in your Old Testament, Genesis 4, Cain kills Abel, and remember God's response to him? Where is your brother? What have you done? And Cain's response was this, am I my brother's keeper? You know the answer to that, don't you? Yes, you are. Yes, you are your brother's keeper. Fast forward into the New Testament. Jesus, he tells the parable of the Good Samaritan that you need to love your neighbor. And the question is this, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus' response, everyone and anyone you come in contact with. Man, why? Because we're all image bearers of God. And so dignity is point number one. And point number two is this, identity. Man, that the image of God, man, it needs to inform our identity. And so, not proud of this moment, but 17 years old, I moved away from home to try and hit it big in the National Hockey League. And so I'm living up in North Bay, Ontario, and I'm up there, and at 17 years old, I got what every young man dreams of, a fake ID. And that meant, man, I could go to the beer store and buy beer and stuff like that. And so the only problem was, so my fake idea, I was Steve Livingston. And here was the problem. It said I was 5'10", blonde hair and blue eyes. That's problematic because at the time I was 6'2", brown hair and brown eyes, right? And I remember going into the beer store, getting the beer. Everyone's having me buy beer for him. And I give him that fake ID. He looks at it, looks at me, looks at it, looks at me, gives it back, and he says, that's not you. And so I got news for you, man, that if you don't know your identity, that the devil will assault it. The devil is going to make an attack on your identity because it's what he does. And your identity will determine your activity. And if he can get your identity, then he can control your activity. I mean, let me prove it to you. So Adam and Eve in the garden, remember, so Eve, man, she didn't understand her identity as an image bearer of God. And to remember what the temptation was, to eat the forbidden fruit, but what was the reason behind it? You can be like God. Listen, Eve, you're already like God. You're an image bearer of God. But she didn't know her identity and what? It cost her everything. Everything. And then you can even fast forward into the New Testament. We see Jesus, he comes on the scene. He's baptized by John the Baptist. The heavens open up. The Holy Spirit descends like a dove. The audible voice of God the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Very next page, Jesus is driven out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And what's the very first assault? It was an assault on his identity. If you be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. If you be, God just declared, I am a son of God. And so remember, if the enemy, the devil, he can steal your identity, he will absolutely control your activity. So if you think about it, like we have, man, we wear a million different hats. We have all these secondary identities. So I'll use myself, for example. Do you know, I'm a father. I'm a son. I'm a husband. I'm a pastor. I'm an ex-athlete. I'm a man, right? And so we can just keep going on and on. There's all these secondary identities. And here's the problem. If you try to build your life, your primary identity with one of these secondary identities, it can't bear the weight of it. And the devil will mess with you and jack with you all the days of your life. Like if I build my primary identity on being a husband, what happens when I'm no longer a husband? Who am I? Right? It's very fragile and a weak foundation. That if I put my primary identity as I'm a pastor or for your career, what happens when I'm no longer a pastor? Who am I? Right? It shakes your world. That if you just did it on your money or your beauty, what happens if and when that is taken from you? Who are you? You don't have an identity. But if your primary identity is of an image bearer of God, and more than that, a son or daughter of God, what happens? Now the devil can never mess with you because this is an eternal identity. It is unchanging. And then we take that primary identity as a son or daughter of God, and we allow that to inform all our secondary identities. And so I'm a son of God who is a dad. I'm a son of God who is a pastor. I'm a son of God who is an employee, right? So on and so forth. And so our primary identity informs all of our secondary identities. And I don't know if you caught it in our text. Never in a million years did I think this would be a controversial text, but we read it, that God created them, wait for it, male and female. Male and female. Did you ever imagine that that could be such a controversial statement? But the reality is we're living out Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to 25. It says this, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." And so we are living in, man, this time where we just think we're smarter than God. And how arrogant is it to think, man, that we can dictate and determine who's male and who's female? You don't get to do that because you're not God, right? And so it's just, there's this insidious, demonic agenda out there to just kind of confuse our young people. There just is. I don't think you can argue with it, man. It's just everywhere in the culture, from TV to our education system. They're bringing in this kind of gender confusion onto our kids, and it's demonic and it's wicked. And listen, there's this social contagion out there that I don't think you can deny. Can we agree, like, being a kid and more or less, nevertheless, a teenager is a very difficult time. Like, with all these hormones and things going on, it could become a very confusing time for us. And then for our culture and the education system to just kind of pile on more and more confusion, it's wicked. Like, here's what they're doing. Have you ever done this? Like, man, you feel like a little bit sick or something, and you go into WebMD and you're just Googling a bunch of stuff. And by the time you get done Googling, you're cold. Man, you think you got cancer or the swine flu or something, right? And so what is that? That's a social contagion. As you read something, man, you're like, maybe I did. Maybe I do have this. And so what we're doing is we're piling on an already confusing time for our young people and our kids. And we need to stop it. We need to say no in the name of Jesus. In the beginning, God made them male and female. And you know what? God thinks he did a really, really good job with you. In fact, when he makes the man and the woman, he says, this is very, very good. And then moms and dads, just a little note to you. Man, if you're a parent out there, all this like gender confusion with our kid and whatnot. And listen, see, there's kind of this lie out there that as parents, there's nothing you can do but affirm your kids' gender confusion. And I just want to tell you, it's not true. In fact, do you know that the majority of our jobs as parents is to actually train our kids out of wrong thinking, wrong feelings? I mean, isn't it true? I mean, from the very beginning, this is kind of all we're doing as parents. Like, I had one kid, man, my daughter, man, she would just bite everybody when she couldn't get what she want. Listen, I don't care if you feel like biting somebody, you can't do that, right? And we train that out of them. That man, kids left to their own devices, they feel like eating garbage the whole time of their life. Man, they become Buddy the Elf, the four major food groups. What, candy? Candy cane? Candy corn, and what's the last one? Syrup, right? And or we train our kids that they don't want to use a fork or a spoon. They're just mashing stuff into their face the whole time. But what? As loving parents, man, we teach them, no, you eat with a fork and a spoon, right? We're training our kids. And in the same way, it's our job as parents to point them to what we know to be true. And so there's this little guy in our church, Mateo. He's a 3, soon to be 4-year-old. And Mateo, I love this kid, man. He's constantly whipping around the church. He's got a Spider-Man outfit and a Spider-Man mask on, man. And this dude, he just loves, he thinks he's Spider-Man. And so he runs around all over the place. I can't wait to see him each and every morning. We're all cracking up. But then I noticed Mateo stopped wearing his mask all the time. And I asked his daddy, I was like, Ronnie, man, how come Mateo doesn't have his mask on anymore? And he says to me, PA, Pastor Adam, he goes, here's the thing. It's important that people see Mateo's face, that he talks to people and looks to people face to face. It's unhealthy for him to do that. And listen, here's what they did. See, they pulled back because as parents, they know what's true. They know you're not Spider-Man. And so they corrected that behavior. And I want to applaud them and say yes and amen. And so moms and dads, it's important to love our kids enough, man, to be able to not just to cave into their feelings, but rather to love them well enough to direct them into all truth. And listen, moms and dads, I want you to know this, that, man, we will do anything and everything we can to walk alongside you and help navigate these difficult seasons as parents. Man, parenting is hard, but we're here for you to navigate these difficult waters alongside of you. And so here we go. We got dignity, identity, and here's our third and final point is activity. Activity, that our identity as image bearers of God, man, it dictates the activity of our life. And I love in our text, it says this, God blessed them. And he says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, right? And so here's the big idea is that you and I as image bearers, we're to fill the earth, man, with the image and glory of God, that wherever we go, the image of God goes with us. And so, I lived in Manhattan for a few years, and if you've not ridden the New York City subways, man, it is a nightmare. If you've ever done it in rush hour, it's just crazy, mashing humanity in. It's hot and smelly. But I remember one time I'm riding in a subway car with my oldest daughter. We're riding, and it was funny. She was like snuggling in and holding onto my arm while I was standing up as we're riding together. And I thought, oh man, we're having a moment. And then I realized she didn't want to touch any of the bars on the subway, so that's why she's hanging on to me. But I'll take what I can get, right? And so as we come to a stop, man, the doors open, and these three African American men, they enter into the subway car, and they said, "Good afternoon, everyone." Here, and then the moment someone says that, you know what's going to happen? They're usually going to ask you for money, but not these three men. They said this, "We're not here to ask anything from you, but we want to give to you a message from our Lord Jesus Christ." And they started singing this song, right? "Well, singing Mary, oh Mary, don't you, mother, don't you moan," right? And they started singing. And as they're singing like this, suddenly other people in the squad car, in the subway car, they start singing. "Yeah, singing Mary." And all of a sudden, the whole subway car busts out in song, like they're having a legit worship service taking place. I'm like, what in the world is going on? And then we got to the last stop and some boom, the doors open. These three men left. "God bless you." Boom, doors closed. And then people went back to being miserable, just like that. Right? So what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Those three men Edenized that subway car. Man, they brought the image and the glory of God into that subway car. And they were a thermostat and not a thermometer. They set the spiritual temperature. And that is your purpose and your calling as an image bearer of God. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14, the prophet Habakkuk says this. He says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Like as you and I, as image bearers, that we go out, we bear the glory and the image of God, and where the glory of God is going to fill the earth like the waters cover the sea. And so where you and I go, man, the spiritual atmosphere is to change. Like you and I, we do everything with excellence. Why? Because we're image bearers and God does everything excellent. That we are patient and kind with people. Why? Because God is patient and kind. You know that you and I, that we love people despite the fact we disagree with them. Because why? Because God loves people that disagree with him. And so I'll close and end this way. So I don't know how many of, like, if this has happened to you, maybe this is just unique to me, but I don't know, like there's been moments in my life where there'll be a song or a movie or whatever, man, and God just blows up my heart, and man, I just start crying like crazy, like ugly cry, like snots and all that kind of stuff. And so The Lion King, I've seen the Broadway play, I've seen the cartoon, and I've seen the motion picture. In every single one of them, when this scene happens, I start bawling my eyes out. And so, and I think it speaks to us today. is you remember that Simba, that he was called to be a king, and yet he was living like a pig. He wasn't living up to the image of his father. And you remember the scene where the Rafiki, this monkey, he brings him to the side of a river where he could see his reflection. And as Simba, he peers in and he sees the reflection of his father. And I love what Rafiki says, "See, he lives in you." And then he says, no, that's just my reflection. He goes, "No, look again." And as he peers in, he hears the voice of his father. He says, Simba, you've forgotten me." And he replies, "No, father, I could never forget you." And he says these words, "You've forgotten who you are, and therefore you've forgotten me." He says, "It's time for you to step up and take your place." And these are the words that get me every time. He says, "You're more than you've become. Remember who you are." And I think that's my appeal to you this morning. Remember who you are. You are an image bearer of God. Let's pray. Lord, God, I just want to pray. Lord, I know we've touched on a few heavy topics here today. But God, Lord, I pray, Lord, for the grace of God just to be poured out. Lord, I pray that we would indeed be men and women, Lord, under, Lord, the conviction of your spirit and of your word. And as we do, we'd be blinding with the glory of God as image bearers. And so, Lord, I pray your grace to be poured out today on each and every one in earshot of this message. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, listen, God bless you, Every Nation, man. The sermon's over with, but we're not quite finished. I want to remind you that you can be faithful in your tithing and your giving. Remember, there's three ways that you can give digitally. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can go give via text. This is how my family and I choose to give. If you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, it's a very convenient way to give. Or you can mail in your check or money order right here to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And I promise you, God will richly bless you as you're faithful in your tithing and your giving. Every Nation, Jesus loves you, and I think you're pretty great too. Have an amazing week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.